Well, good morning, everyone, on this July the 2nd, 2023. Some of you are probably getting ready to make your July 4th celebration here in a couple of days, or some of you may be on vacation already doing so. So I will just go ahead and tell you ahead of time, I hope that you have a pleasant and a safe 4th of July holiday. Remember the traffic, remember the where there are hordes of people gathering. You always have the opportunity for crime. You have the opportunity for evil to be perpetrated in even a more of a sometimes a volume of context. So be careful, be situationally aware out there. Know your surroundings at all times. And most importantly, for you Christians that may be listening to me, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, in a secular situation, if I were teaching a criminal justice class of some kind, I might say, follow your gut. Your gut instincts always tell you generally the right thing to do, which is through the manifestation of communication from the Holy Spirit of God to your spirit man. And when I say man, I'm talking both genders, man and woman. So let God lead you through this 4th of July and don't do anything too silly, okay? So the title of this spiritual talk this morning is When Life Has You in a Pressure Cooker. Now, for some of you that may not know what a pressure cooker is, pressure cooker is a steam pot. It's something that you would put food in. It's a steam chamber. And you put water in there and it is sealed up. Probably most folks know what a pressure cooker is, but just in case. It's going to be a sealed up, so it's going to be a sealed steam chamber. So you put it on the stove, you put the water in it, you put it on the stove, and it's heated. The pressure chamber itself causes the water to superheat under pressure, which then causes the steam, which then begins to cook the meat or the vegetable that you have in it. The thing about a pressure cooker is this: as that pressure builds and it superheats the water to turn to steam, then the steam begins, obviously, to cook the product. And not only does it cook the product, but because of the pressure that's in the steam chamber itself, it injects that steam or that water inside the product that you're cooking. So that's why you can put a piece of tough meat into a pressure cooker, and then it will soften it up and tenderize it, to caramelize it, it'll even brown it, which is phenomenal to me when you think about using water to cook with. But once inside that chamber, that pressure gets so intense, well, if the pressure cooker didn't have a pressure release valve, it would just explode. But that pressure gets so intense that the object of the illustration in this is the intensity of the pressure compounds the product that's inside it, and then the steam injects itself into the product. Now that product, that let's just say you've got a roast in there, that roast has no choice. It's inside a steam chamber. It's inanimate and it's locked in there, and it can't do anything about it. It's going to do what the pressure, here's the point I want to get to you. Whatever that product is that's being cooked in there is going to do what the pressure tells it to do. It has no choice. So that's the way we feel these days a lot of times about life. The pressure is so intense that we have no choice but just to go along with the pressure and let it do to us whatever it wants to do to us. Or just be destroyed. So a lot of folks these days, this pressure of just life, as the title of this teaching is, when life has you in a pressure cooker. And that's the way life is for many people today. Matter of fact, probably most of us in some manner or the other. And why is that? Now, one reason why the pressure is so intense these days is because we are in the funnel of the last days or timing of the age of grace. We're leading up to that time that a supernatural event will happen called the rapture of the saints. People that are believing, trusting Jesus Christ, believe in him, are looking for him. The Bible makes it very clear that there will be an event, a catching up, and those who are watching, waiting, and prepared will go up, according to the Bible, in the clouds of the air to meet our King, our Savior, our Lord. Then for us that are raptured away, we are in heaven for 7 years. So if the rapture happens today, it could. There's nothing holding it back except God's timing, whatever that happens to be. If that happens today, then you and I, or hopefully you know Jesus Christ, hopefully you are watching for this rapture and listening and preparing yourself for this catching away to meet your God. Now, you're going to meet God one way or the other. That's all there is to it. We all have an appointment with death. Now, I'm not talking about death when I'm talking about the rapture, the catching away. I'm talking now about that appointment we all have with death. The rapture, we're not really dying. We're just being translated. So, one way or the other, you're going to meet God. You just don't have any choice in the matter. This body will give out one of these days, or somebody will take your life, or you'll be in an accident. Who knows? Death really is not, he's not really particular in how he takes you out of here. Doesn't seem to me, anyway. But let's just say the rapture happened today and you're ready. You've been watching and waiting for the Lord and you believe and trusting in everything he said. The Bible says the moment twinkling of thy, that's faster than you can blink. We'll all be translated and meet him in this heavenly destination. But immediately upon that happens, then that translates into another age or another time. And it's a time of a 7-year period called a tribulation time that the Bible, from the Old Covenant through the book of Revelation, describes as a time of severe judgment, a time of which man has never experienced ever before, even with all of the heartaches of life, with all of the evil that's been perpetrated over the ages of time. There's nothing has been seen like this tribulation time. And according to the Bible, it will last for 7 years. Well, if you and I get raptured today, then we've got 7 years of preparation as the army of God, the spiritual army of God now. We're literally going to be translated. We're already the army of God on this earth. But the Bible says that the saints, those that are there in heaven, when Jesus Christ actually does return to the earth, that we come with him, riding on the horses just like with him, we come back to conquer the Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But Jesus is going to be doing all the work. We just get to watch, pretty much. But we're going into a preparation time. Once the rapture happens, we go to a 7-year preparation time awaiting. And it will be 7 years. It will be exactly as God said it would be. So, but what about now? What's happening to us now? So as time is funneled down to this time period that I just described to you, it's kind of like being in that pressure chamber, that pressure cooker. So here's how Kevin English can describe it to you, and it's what Kevin English believes. I believe when creation started of the Adamic race as we know it. Now I'm one of those that thinks maybe there was creation before time of a pre-Adamic race, possibly, and they were destroyed, and then God replenished the earth, and there was this Adamic race of God's creation of man that we know about now. That's what we live in. Okay, Facebook just always gives me all kinds of trouble here. I'm on Facebook and I am on StreamYard this morning. Be posted in lifeinvestigated.com, YouTube, Rumble channel, different places other than Facebook Live. So I'm doing two platforms today. Anyway, so we are of the Adamic race. So it's creation as we know it. Then when Jesus came incarnate as man in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, he was God and man at the same time. Then he was, as a matter of fact, I just taught a lesson on this last week. He was translated back into heaven after his resurrection to 40-day period, and he took his proper authority, heavenly authority, back on the throne then. That's where he's at. But the Bible makes it very clear he's coming back again. But this time, instead of coming back as the Savior, as the sacrificial lamb, he's coming back as judge, and he's coming back as king. And that's what we, the raptured saints, will come back with him. We'll come back as rulers with him on this very earth. And let me tell you something. Jesus will come back the second time in bodily form, just like he left here in. When the disciples were standing and gazing up in the air, and the angel spoke to them, said, "You men of Galilee, why in the world are you standing here looking in the air?" That same Jesus, he's going to come back the same way. So what that means is the same body, man's body, that he left here in, he's coming back at the end of the tribulation time in that same identical body. And he's going to be the same identical man, and he's going to be the same identical God, because he never left his deity. Not truthfully, he didn't leave his deity. He was still always God. But he's going to come back this time as judge. So when creation started, you had this big, big funnel of time, right? But history, time just chipped away, right? Chipped away, chipped away, chipped away, chipped away, chipped away, chipped away, chipped away. So here's Jesus. He came, Emmanuel, God with us, born in the manger, right? Sacrificial Lamb of God. So there was the time span. I'm just using this illustration here. Okay. Don't anybody accuse me of blasphemy or something. So here was the time period of God. Started here at the Adam. Now we're down to Jesus. So Jesus was crucified, right? Resurrected, right? Ascended back to heaven, right? That's what the Bible says, not Kevin. So here was time. So Jesus said, "Now I'm coming back again, guys, by the way." He told his people. He told us, "Come back again, by the way, as judge." So here's time. So now there's been 2,000 years. So time has continued to do this. What? Come tighter, 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 tighter. So as we started out in mankind, we started out like this in a funnel. Now we're like this. So as time has encapsulated around us, what is that doing? That in itself causes a certain amount of pressure. What you're feeling in your spirit, there's two things you're feeling in your spirit right now. If you feel like you are in this pressure cooker of life, that life is just beating your brains out. it's just pounding on you day after day after day after day. And there are weeks and maybe even months that you feel like there's no hope and that nothing is ever going to change for you. Now listen to me. Part of that is because of the funnel of time. That in itself has encapsulated, time has encapsulated us leading up to this tribulation time. So Jesus made it very clear that there would be a time of a birth pain. What does a child have to do? Once it's conceived and it's a living being, it comes down through the birthing channel through a process of what time? When it's manifested and it's a human being. It's the first heartbeat. It's in the womb, you know, and it's got space and time. But as the delivery time comes down at that time of final gestation, whatever it is, I'm not a doctor, nor am a lawyer. So, you know, it comes down in that birthing channel, and what happens? Its space gets more compressed. And who suffers from that? Well, the mother and the baby. Ain't neither one of them real happy. You women, God bless you for giving birth. None of us men are strong enough to do that. We'd wimp out. I've been there through the birth of my children. I've watched my wife. Of course, she's smart. First thing she's done, she goes into the hospital room when it's time to deliver. Now, she's already been surfing the pangs of it. Of that child getting ready to say, hey, world, here I come. And it's moving down and it's causing her extreme pain and discomfort because, and the child's in discomfort too. She walks in and says, epidural, please. That's smart to me, but anyway, some of you folks like that pain and don't really like the pain, but you want the experience of the natural childbirth. God bless you too, even more. You are one tough individual, is the only thing I can say. So, but time compressed around the birth. And Jesus said there would be the same thing for us, both in our humanity and in our spirit. So your spirit is feeling a compressing of time. It's not really your body that's truthfully, it feels some of it because it's a byproduct of the compression. But your spirit man, which is what you are, it's what's really feeling the compression of time. It's feeling the urgency of time. And it's feeling the negativity of time. Because God's enemy, Satan, has created a lot of negativity. I want to read you something here real quick before I forget it. It's in 2 John. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but we receive the full reward. So here again, because time keeps pressuring you, and this birthing pain is happening to transition from a time of the age of grace until the judgment of this earth and the judgment of man on this earth comes, and the delivery of the king, the ultimate judge, back to this world. So this pressure is continuing, but part of the pressure is because of the compression itself of time. The other part is because of what I just read to you. For many deceivers are entered into the world. They're antichrist. So what they do, and they may be in churches. You know, somebody said, you know, I was talking about deliverance ministry and casting out demons in one of my teachings, and which is something, a fundamental principle that Jesus instructed his disciples to do, by the way. He said, somebody asked me, where you find all these devils at to cast out? I said, well, all I have to do is go into any church in America. Well, any church in the world. And the churches are filled with them. It's usually manifested in a lot of times in the form of a religious demon, a self-righteous demon, or there's a lot of perverted demons hanging around in churches. Some of them are in leadership. But nevertheless, you've got these antichrists, whether it's the news media. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the news media has an antichrist spirit. And that's for the right wing and the left wing. They all have an antichrist spirit. They never really, every now and then, some of the more conservative medias will say something about God in a general text. You very rarely hear them say, identified their religion in a personal relationship. I say the word God, and I do use the word God, but to me, when I'm referring to the word God, I'm referring to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this, even the right-wing medias will take and not personalize it because it's not politically correct. So far as I'm concerned, they all preach and teach some form of antichrist. So there will be a man during the tribulation that's a world leader called the antichrist. But that same spirit is prevailing in many, according to the word of God, and it's in numerous places here, that prevailing spirit of the antichrist, or the spirit that's against God, that doesn't recognize that God, it says here, it particularly described this antichrist spirit, particularly won't even acknowledge that Jesus ever come before in the flesh. And that's what you even have some churches teaching that now, supposedly Main Street churches. And a lot of your churches, especially your Feel Good, Greasy Grace, seeker-friendly churches, they won't even have a cross in their church. They won't allow any songs about the blood. You know, I'm not big into these songs. The worship services got corrupted from what true worship is, so I don't really care whether there's any music or not. But they won't allow a song singing anything about a blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the redemption of mankind. They won't have a cross because the cross is offensive, and I get it, for some people it is, legitimately, because of the past times, ancient times, now that, you know, we would call the crusade times. I've got a sweat bee buzzing me. Sorry, I'm not having an epileptic fit. You know, so there's many of these people, and if you're in a church and you say, well, we can't talk about the blood, we can't teach about the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we don't want any symbols of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're an antichrist, period. You're in an antichrist church. That's not my opinion. My opinion means nothing to you. I realize that. That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. That's false teaching. They're not teaching the full. That's what the Apostle John said here. He said, don't back away from the trueness of the preaching of Christ because you want to receive your full reward. So you're in this pressure cooker of life. Part of it is because of the propagation and the manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist has gotten stronger as time has funneled down. So you got two things working. Well, you've got three things. I'm getting ready to identify the third thing. You've got the funnel time that now has encapsulated you. It's putting pressure on you, your body and your spirit, mostly your spirit. You've got the Antichrist spirit that's grown over time. Now, it started out like this, the Antichrist spirit, but because of the multiplication of that through men's false teachings and through men's evil ways and through men just wanting to seek evil more than good, that Antichrist spirit has expanded. So you've got more Antichrist spirits, most likely, manifested in the world today in 2023 than you had at Christ's manifestation as man back at the turning of the time from AD to BC. BC and AD, I should say. So you got those two things working against you. And the Antichrist spirit is very strong and it's very prevalent, folks. And a lot of you don't resist that Antichrist spirit because you don't understand it, one, and two, because it requires effort. We've kind of gotten lazy in America, so if anything requires a great deal of commitment or sweat equity, we don't like to do it too much. I mean, let's just be honest. We don't like to do it too much. We have an instantaneous gratification mindset that it should just come to me. I'm privileged. And you've seen that 20 years ago, big time, coming 20 to 25 years ago, come in big time, not only into the education system, but into the church system too. When the education system and started teaching, well, everybody should be treated equally as far as grades go, whether they worked for it or not. We don't want to make some kid feel bad. And they just started passing everybody and giving everybody basically the same grades. And if you stood out, as head and shoulders above everybody else, you were ostracized. You're criticized by the education. Well, the church bought into that. Next thing I know, there are church sports leagues that says, and back when I was pastoring, some of my elders wanted me to get involved in this, that these sports leagues that said, well, every child's going to get a trophy, and every child's going to get a ribbon, and every child's going to be a winner. No, every child doesn't get a trophy, and every child, quite frankly, is not a winner. It's just the cold, hard facts of life. But when we teach that, these kids that we started teaching, I didn't, but I was ostracized even in my own church as a pastor for not being willing. You're just cold. You're just hard. There's no middle ground with you, Kevin. You're either black or white. Well, Jesus Christ is too, not in the color of his skin. He said so in the book of Revelation. He said, you lukewarm people make me want to vomit. You people that are on the fence all the time. He said, you ain't got nothing to do with me. He said, I prefer you be the cold or hot. Why is cold or hot? Because they're both extremes. He wants some action from you. He wants some spiritual action from you. He wants some spiritual dedication. And even if we read here the preceding verse to what I just read, the Apostle John is talking about we've forgotten to love one another. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. All we do is argue anymore. So therefore, the division of the Antichrist spirit, which Satan is a divider, his demon that manifests this in our midst, has gotten even more prevalent because we've allowed him. But we taught a whole 25 years ago, we started teaching, I can say this, it's probably longer than that, but I can remember this starting to manifest in my church, this attitude. And I said, no, we are not. Kick me out. I don't care. I will not preach a false doctrine to my children. And now those kids that were 9, 10 now, you know, they're 35, 30, 35, getting on 40 years. Half of them probably are living on welfare now. Because when they got out into the job force, if they got a job, and they had to actually be required to work, and just because they showed up for work 5 or 6 days a week, whatever they were required to work, and they didn't get a raise after the first week, they got offended and went home and cried to the pastor or to mommy and daddy, and somebody patted them on the head and said, well, that's okay, you're a winner. No, they're not a winner. They're a loser. Let me be quite frank with you. If you have the ability to be working and contributing to society, and you are choosing to sit down and eat chocolate and popcorn on all day on your 3 size 2 big back size, you are a loser. You need to get the mind of Christ, get yourself up, lose some weight, eat some nutritious food, start working out, and find yourself a job and contribute to society instead of being a taker. You are pathetic. If that's you. Now, if you have a disease, a real disease, or you have a disability that stops you from doing certain things, then okay, you pray and God's going to take care of that situation. He will see you and walk you through every stage of your life, but he's not going to bless sin. So that's the third thing that's putting the pressure on us right now that we feel so intense. Remember, it's the funneling of time, the multiplication of the Antichrist spirit. And here's the third thing that's causing Christians problems right now is disobedience. My friends, God, let me see if I can make this as pure, simple, clear, and hillbilly language as I can. God ain't going to bless somebody that's not doing what they're supposed to do. And you might say, okay, well, English, I get up here and I go to work. I'm not a slug. I go to work. But you do everything else in your life wrong. You take the sins of the flesh that is outlined in the New Testament, for example, all of the sexual sins that are outlined in the New Testament. Adultery, fornication. You live with men. Some of you women jump into any man's bed. Some of you men, that's all your goal is to see how many you can bring into your bedroom or how many marriages and divorces you can go through or something. That's why I don't do marriages anymore. I seen where marriage become not a solemn ceremony as it should be, a sanctified ceremony. It was just a matter of convenience. Most of the folks that I was marrying, truthfully, they really would have really probably wanted a civil marriage in front of a magistrate or something, but somewhere along the line, mama or daddy or somebody said, well, no, you need to get a preacher to put his blessing on you. Listen, a preacher don't put the blessing on you. Let me tell you something about marriage. Now, you listen to me, and I'm not condemning anybody that's been divorced, but listen to me. If you've had multiple marriages, the reason that you have multiple marriages is you didn't wait for God to ordain that marriage. God is the one that ordains a marriage. God is the one that brings a man and a woman into covenant, and that's the only covenant in front of God is between a man and a woman. That's the only legal covenant. I don't care that the world is out here marrying homosexual couples. The only legal covenant in God's eyes is a man and a woman, and the only substantial covenant that's going to be of a lasting nature, whether you got married by a preacher or not, is going to be if you prayed and you sought God and you went through the solemn process of God allowing you to select your life partner on both sides. See, both sides have to be seeking God for that life partner. And sometimes, you know, the reason I think a lot of people don't really seek God out for that solemn commitment is because that person generally doesn't act, look, and talk the way they wanted them to. I've even had people tell me, well, I'm not going to marry somebody that's not on my same educational level. Now, wait a minute. That's totally contrary to the Word of God. If educational level is your basis for a God-ordained marriage to last over the years, you ain't got a chance, Bubba, or sister, whoever I may be speaking to. But anyway, so we get into disobedience, but we justify it because of the Antichrist spirit we've been taught. Now, this particular Antichrist spirit was very prevalent in my upbringings, even in the 60s. You know, I used to hear guys say, and I was guilty of this too, so don't think I'm just preaching at the choir. I'm preaching it myself from my past life, but my past life is my past life. I've been born again. You know, oh yeah, she looks good. She's fun to be with. Let's get married. Ask me how well those work out. Listen. Well, you need to try it out. Here was a good old boy saying, well, you need to try the old cow out before you buy it. Now, if I was a woman, even back in those days, and I heard a man say that, nah, no way that I would be in bed with him. If I was a woman, I heard a man say that about me. Even if I was the woman and I didn't want to be in a committed relationship, I guarantee you I wouldn't have been in bed with him. But that, I mean, that it was different versions of it, but you know what they were teaching, and I had older guys tell me this as a young man. Yeah, you need to do this. You don't need to jump up and get married. I wasn't raised in church. Now, some of you church boys, you've been, you know, you goody two shoes. You didn't. You said you didn't have that problem. Most what I found out, all you church boys, you were much more heathen than I was. But anyway, I had older my elders teaching me that kind of false philosophy. But in my heart, even not being a born again Christian, you see, when a man or a woman's born, the Bible says that you're given a measure of faith. Everybody, no matter what your creed, religion, it doesn't matter what part of the world you live in, even what generation you are, every man's given a measure of faith. And I've always believed that measure of faith was just enough to allow you to know that there is a God. Now, we may not acknowledge him, we may not serve him, but we know there's a God. So here we are. I knew even back in those, and I wasn't churched, but I knew when I there was all kinds of stuff that I did that I knew was against God, even though I didn't really know God. But there was something inside me telling me, you're in sin, you're wrong. And everybody knows they're in sin because if you didn't know it, you were in sin, you would never get saved. You'd never come to an altar and get born again if you didn't know it. So that's the third thing that's causing you this life in this pressure cooker right now is your rebellion. You justify your sin. You justify your thought process. You justify your actions through an Antichrist philosophy or through an Antichrist teaching that someone has told you, well, it's okay. God understands. I can't tell you in my time in the ministry. So I've been in ministry longer than 26 years, but I've spent 26 years, give or take a few months, as a pastor. Now, during that time period, I was bivocational. Bivocational, not bisexual, bivocational, which means I pastored churches but kept a secular job. But there were times that, now it wasn't this way all the time, but there were seasons in my life that I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit to quit my job and just completely go into the ministry 100% without the interference of a secular job. Now, I was full time. If you're in ministry, you're full time, but there were periods of my time I was convicted over that, but yet I refused because I didn't trust the churches and I didn't trust God. That's the main thing, is I didn't trust God. And I felt condemned, or not condemned, I felt convicted. If Holy Spirit's conviction, you feel convicted, not condemned. There were times, but I was feeling the conviction and understanding the conviction, but yet I was still refusing to do what God was leading me to do, which put me in rebellion, which put me out of the blessings of God. Listen, folks, it is more essential in this compressed time. We are all in this pressure cooker. It feels like we can't even get a breath. It is more essential today than probably ever been in your life. If you're alive listening to me today, it's probably more essential for you today to be in the will of God, as in obeying his commands that he's speaking to your spirit, than ever has been before. And that's part of your discomfort and your lack of hope, and just feeling like you have no life. Listen, you are in the end time, so it's going to be evil. It's not going to change. It really will progressively get worse. The Bible teaches that. But our Savior hasn't changed. He's still there on the throne. He's still coming back. Everything's still going to transpire the way he said it would. But here's the most important part. If you're feeling you're in this pressure cooker, here's the most important part to you, my friends. He still got his eye on you. He still got his hand on you. He still loves you. And he still has a place prepared for you. He said he'd prepare a place for us. And he's still there waiting on us. So no matter how cruddy or crappy this life gets, because it's just inevitably going to get that way, no matter how much we feel the intensity, we can rest assured we have, as that song says, the blessed assurance. We have the assurance that our God is there. His eyes are upon the sparrow. He's going to take care of us. We may have discomfort, but he's still going to take care of us. And we're still going to, if we keep the faith and we progress towards God and not to the Antichrist spirit, he is going to keep us in his hand and he is going to give us our full reward. That is something to shout about. Hope you've enjoyed this today and got something out of it. PatriotTrainer@ProtonMail.com is how you can contact me. Contact me if you need some spiritual assistance of some kind. Thank you so much.